This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all traveling this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things that God is showing me as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other podcasts at botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/botfpodcast. I'm really excited because today we are with Christine Kinberg. She is an author. She creates through her words. And I'm going to have her tell you a little bit about what her specific genre is and kind of what she's working on right now.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Jenna. This is so exciting. So I am the author of a book called The Means That Make Us Strangers, which is young adult, historical young adult novel set in the 1960s about a girl who grows up in Ethiopia and then moves to South Carolina. The first year there are African-American students at the White High School. So that's that book just came out in July. And so I've been worked on that book for like 6 years. It's finally out. Now I'm trying to figure out marketing and what that means. And meanwhile, I am working on revising my second novel again. And I'm in the beginning stages of writing my third novel, which will be another historical book.
That's awesome. And just for people, if you want to read the book, I read it over Christmas and it was so good that I was sitting there reading and I literally had people talking to me while I was reading and I had no idea that they were talking to me or even there because I was so engrossed in the story. She does such a great job.
Thanks, Jenna. That's a really high recommendation. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So we're going to go with some of our questions. We're talking about creativity and how we are created in God's image, and God obviously is a creator, so he has given us that gift to reflect him. So how did you learn about your talent in writing?
Yeah, so I've always loved making up stories and kind of pretending when I was a kid. And when I think I was in fourth grade when I wrote my first story. It was like a school assignment type thing. We read a story and then we were supposed to like write what happens next type thing. Ooh. And I enjoyed it so much. I went home and started like writing down stories for fun. And I think like I started to win some contests and things like that. And so that was extra affirmation and that was helpful. And I think I was in fifth grade when I read Anne of Green Gables. And that I love that book so much. And I wanted to write things like that, that would sort of affect people's lives the way that book affected mine. And yeah, so I've wanted to be a writer ever since.
That's awesome. And what country were you in when you started that?
So I was living in Chile in fourth grade, and then we moved to back to the US and I lived in Kentucky in fifth grade. So
that's a big difference.
Cool. Those are awesome transition periods. Yeah.
Awesome. You got your bachelor's in that and you got grad school. Did you have other school, college things that you did in there?
Yeah. So my undergrad was in English with a writing concentration. So I did get some writing classes in there, but also, you know, literature studies. Okay. I did a minor in theology and I took a lot of like acting classes, like theater classes as well. Ooh. And some philosophy classes just for fun.
Just for fun.
Yeah. So now I suppose I should mention that too. So my day job, I'm a writer. Like that's what I'm passionate about. My day job is as an editor at Tyndale House. I'm a Spanish language editor for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's, I suppose that's helped shape me too, sort of working on the editing side of things, I think has made me a better writer as well.
Did you spend most of your outside of the US stuff in Spanish speaking countries?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was born in Peru and then grew up in Chile and in Panama for high school. So I lived most of my life in a Spanish speaking country until college. So that was, so that's been a big part of my story. And I work in Spanish. Like people look at me and they don't know how I'm a Spanish language editor because I look very white American. But every time I have to tell people, I promise I'm born and raised in Latin America. I may not sound like it, but if I spoke Spanish, you would hear it. I promise.
Awesome. What does it feel like when you get inspiration for a story?
Yeah, this I love this question. It is, so I think it often starts off as something small, like an idea that has some sparks around it, I think. So it might be like just a sentence that I write down, say on a napkin or in a notebook or somewhere. But then the more I think about that idea, the more energizing it is, and the more exciting it is. And then when I put like sort of the more effort I put into it, as I fan the flames of inspiration, sort of it, the more I feel carried away by it. And it kind of, inspiration can develop a life of its own if sort of fed, or if the flames are fanned. Mm-hmm. I'm mixing my metaphors there, I think. But yeah, when I am feeling inspired when I'm writing, I think that's when I most feel like I'm doing what I was created to do.
That's awesome. That is a good feeling.
Yeah.
So the book that I read, The mm-hmm. Means That Makes Us Strangers, that is kind of that is not a Spanish speaking culture. That is like 60s with the segregation, Martin Luther King, all of that stuff. What, mm-hmm. how did you get there?
Yeah. So I think a lot of my writing, I'm exploring questions from my life in more extreme circumstances. So I write fiction. So it's not like, someone asked me this question the other day about how much of the book had come out of my own experiences. And in that book in particular, Adelaide, the main character, she does move from Ethiopia to South Carolina. So for her, there is cross-cultural adjustment. So that a lot of her feelings come from my own experience. And I think, but I didn't set out to write a story about my own life, in other words. But I think the more I explore this character, the more I realize what I had in common with her. And she borrowed some of my experiences, I think. But I think I set out to write, I was interested in exploring kind of how race works in the U.S., sort of based on what things I'd observed, you know, things that bother me, things that I don't think make sense about American culture. And yeah, and then I wanted to set it in the 1960s because, like, how can I was trying to find ways to raise the stakes of the story. So, like, how do I, you know, it'd be much more, the lines were much starker in the 1960s during the civil rights era. So what if I set the book then? And, you know, in my own experiences coming from Latin America to, you know, the American world we know. But for her, she was coming from Africa to the civil rights era, South Carolina. So kind of like raising the stakes of her situation, making it more dramatic to explore the questions from my own life that were interesting to me.
Great. So what are some barriers for you when you try to create these worlds?
Yeah, I think my fear is often what holds me back. So different types of fears, I think fear of being exposed in some ways, sort of like a fear of, oh no, everyone's going to find out that I'm just a fraud. I've just been pretending all this time and everyone's going to see I'm not actually good enough. Well, when sharing my writing, that's definitely a fear that comes up. I think when creating also, like when putting things down on the page, I think the fear of sort of like those voices of, oh, this isn't coming out right. This is never going to be good enough. This is never going to sound as good as it sounds in your head. Like, those fears of failure too, of like, you're never going to accomplish this. It's like, why are you even spending all this time working on this? Nobody's ever going to care. All those feelings are definitely barriers.
So then what gives you courage? What made you confident enough to put this out there?
I get courage from my community. And then I think I also get courage because I want to engage with my community more and better. So writers groups have always been a big part of my writing life. And as I think as I see what other people are working on, that inspires me and gives me courage to keep going. And then also, as people say, oh, we want to read, like, where is the story going to go? We want to see what's next. That gives me courage to, like, oh, okay, this, I can do this. This is, like, this is connecting with people. And also, as people say, you know, like, yeah, this isn't working right now, but here's how we can make it better. That always is helpful too, with those fears of, like, I'm never going to be good enough. Well, this might not be good enough right now, but it can become better. So yeah, community is a big one. And I think sometimes, like, being, like, just going outside is really helpful to overcome those barriers. Going outside, like getting outside of my own head, going for a walk, whatever. And prayer too is always another thing. When I'm writing is when I feel most like I'm doing what I was created to do. And sometimes I need prayer to help me remember, oh, that's right. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's because this is part of how I love God, is by using this gift that He gave me.
You hit on the identity thing, and that's huge to me. I've been finding more and more, I don't know if it's like I'm sure it's everybody, but just so many people are like grasping, trying to find what defines them, and then finding something that's not going to crumple underneath them. Mm-hmm. So how do you find your identity in creativity?
It feels like writing can become an idol if it gets out of proportion with other ways I find my identity, for example, in Christ. Mm-hmm. So like, I am the beloved of God. That I think needs to be at the core of my identity. And my writing can be kind of under that. My writing identity can be sort of under that and in service to that, to who I am in Christ as God's beloved daughter. But if my writing becomes, I think, the primary part of my identity, it can easily become an idol, and I feel like I have to prove myself in that realm, because it's never, it can be sort of a hollow identity if it becomes my primary identity. Yeah, so I think the good part of writing is that's how I recognize, like, when writing is in proportion with my identity in Christ, then that I feel like I am most myself when I'm writing, and I feel like I'm offering something that's a true part of me. And that's when I feel like, my writing identity is, or my identity as a writer is healthy.
I can see how the balance of trying to fit, you're saying you want your identity first be Christ, and then writing is part of how He made you. That's part of your identity. And then instead of flipping it, where your identity becomes about being a writer, and then that's not a safe balance. Because if something weird happens and you lose your ability to write, then where does that leave your identity? So what ways do you allow God to impact your writing?
That's an interesting question, because I think in some ways it feels like, oh, I'm just writing, and then I sort of offer it up to God. But I do think actually the more I thought about that question, the more I was like, oh yeah, actually there are, I think, ways God impacts my writing. Like sometimes, I feel like sometimes God actually brings ideas to mind, which sounds, when I first thought that, I was like, wait, but not like a divine inspiration type thing. But I do think God, it's almost like God is participating with me in my creativity sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's fun. So like the other day I was stumped. I'm still working on this issue. With a story I'm revising. I was trying to figure out how exactly do I, like, where do I go with this? I'm missing something. I'm not sure exactly what I'm missing. And so, you know, I was praying about it and I was like, God, I'm not exactly sure. Can you help me? What, like, where should this go? And then an idea came to mind, and it felt like one of those things that I was like, I don't think I came up with that. For one thing, it scares me.
Yeah.
So that, I think that does happen sometimes. And then I think sometimes too, I pray for connections, like that the story will connect with a certain type of people, or like that the story will form connections and people will find the story strengthening to them. Yeah, so I think God does impact my creation sometimes by giving me ideas, but I think mostly like who I am, sort of God is shaping me in who I am, and my story comes out of that in general. So I think sort of on a broader scale, God is also impacting the story just in like I'm a person who has a relationship with God, and so that my stories are different because of that too.
So you kind of answered this one, but being a Christian, does it change the way you create versus someone who does not have Christ in their life writing?
It's funny because I don't think of myself as a quote unquote Christian writer. I do think, I do think I'm different. I write differently though, because I'm a Christian, because I think definitely be the fact that I'm a Christian makes me a different type of person, I think. But then also I think my life as a Christian, and especially prayer, helps me pay attention, which is a thing that is really important, I think, in writing, and it influences how I write, because the more I pay attention to what I see as God's world, I think the better I can write. And like, that's what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about writing about the world that God created for us and help people pay attention to their own lives better and see the world differently. And I do that because of my faith. What I'm passionate about is that even if someone wouldn't identify with my faith, they would still somehow feel drawn closer to God or feel more of an invitation from God in my writing. And another thing I thought of with this question is, I can't remember what book it's from of C.S. Lewis's writings, but there's a quote about how there are no mere mortals, or you've never met a mere mortal, something like that. And so I think that changes how I write also, that both who I think I'm writing for, that this is an immortal person, and the people I'm sort of the fictional characters that I create, I suppose this would be debatable, but I think art is somewhat immortal too, that sort of the fictional characters, even though they aren't like, they're not real, they don't have life, but I think my fictional characters, like, hopefully have, I want there to be something immortal in them too, in this world that God created, in the imagination that God has given me.
It made me think that, like, the way you create your stories and your characters, it kind of gives you a glimpse of how God created us. Like, not that I'm saying we're characters in a book, but like how you feel about the characters, how you invested in them, how you created them to be a specific way, to act a certain way, to fulfill a story, is kind of similar to how God created us in some sense. So how do you want your creations to represent God? So since we're reflecting God, how do you want your reflection to be of him?
One of the things I'm really passionate about is writing for people who don't necessarily have faith, probably, and who don't necessarily identify as Christians or are necessarily even interested in that. But I read in New York Times, I'm a fan of the author Marilynne Robinson, and I think she does that really well. She writes explicitly Christian things about Christian theology, Christian characters, but she writes it in a way that's inviting to a general market. So there's a quote that I love, that a New York Times reviewer was writing about Marilynne Robinson's work. And he wrote that he's not a Christian, not at all interested in becoming a Christian, but reading Marilynne Robinson makes him believe in grace.
Oh,
isn't that so cool? And that's what I want to do. Trying to give people hope that there is an answer in God if they will turn to him. Even if I'm not explicitly writing a salvation message, I want to point people to, there is a truth bigger than us. There is a, you know, there's something that can give us purpose outside of ourselves. And there is, kind of like, we aren't the center of the universe, that something else is. Keep looking for it.
But if you like tease it, if you, it's almost like a wooing of them to, mm-hmm. to God, mm-hmm. through the words that you have in the story that you are portraying. It's kind of like a subtle, but sometimes that's more powerful too. Mm-hmm. So you're at different stages of creating now in different mm-hmm. realms. So what is your typical process?
So it often starts off with a germ of an idea, something small, something, maybe something my first book started off with a question that I wrote down in my writer's notebook when I was in college. And then I came back to it years later and I was started to explore the question a little bit more. And then at least for these three books so far, my first two books, I decided I was going to do, I don't know if you're familiar with it. There's a thing called National Novel Writing Month in November. I found November to be a really hard month to do that in because, you know, Thanksgiving and travel and whatnot. So for both of my first two books, I think I picked February because I live in Chicago and nobody wants to do anything in February. It is cold outside. So two different times I decided, well, I'm going to take February and see if I can write 50,000 words in this month and we'll see what happens. And so I kind of like was just throwing words onto the page. This will not make sense to anyone else. These like just snippets each day. But my goal is 50,000 words. And then those two different times I met the goal. And then at the end of the month, I realized, oh, so this is what I think is the story. And then I started to, you know, shape it. And figure out how the scenes fit together, these different moments. Oh, this, you know, this actually happens over here. I need another character here. And then after that happens, then a lot of rewriting. And, you know, then showing it to someone else and rewriting it again. And then eventually editing it and polishing it and calling it a book. So I'm at the very beginning stages of that with my third book. For the third book, I actually did a lot more research at the sort of forefront of it. I did a 2.5 month trip to Chile and Argentina. Ooh. To research that book. And it was so much fun. And so I like got to be on site researching some things, trying to figure out what the story was a little bit that way.
So you said it took 6 years, did you say?
Yeah, it was about, I think, 6.5 years because it was 2013, early in 2013 when I started writing it. And then the book was published July 2019.
It's weird. You think like how long it takes you to read it and then to realize how long you worked into that. Like, does that feel exciting that people can experience it that quickly? Or do you feel not anticlimactic, but is it sad for you that it's like it's only 3 hours of someone's life to read it, but it took you so long to make it?
I should say I wasn't working just on that book all 6 years, and it was a lot of that time was like I'd take a break, and a lot of it was like sending it out and getting feedback and then revising it. So there were like long stretches in there where I didn't do anything to the book. So it wasn't 6 years of dedicated work every day for sure. It was maybe, I don't know. It was, that'd be hard to guess actually. I would say maybe like 1.5 to 2 years of that was dedicated work. So yeah, still a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did start a new job and I did grad school in there too. And, so there were lots of other things going on. But the in terms of what it feels like to share it, I think it's both really exciting and scary to share it because these characters did live in my head. Like they lived just in my head for 6 years. And then all of a sudden now there are other people who like will have conversations with me about these characters and what they thought the characters were going to do and what they were like, which characters they were rooting for. And that is like really exciting. And there's something really fulfilling about that of, you know, these characters that used to be just in my head now have a life of their own outside of my head and other people can interact with them too. But it's also like, sometimes it is a little scary of like, oh, but now other people can see them. Like it does feel a little, sometimes I do feel a little bit exposed about yeah. like, yeah, now they see what was going on in my head for so long. It's a little scary.
That's courage to me to be able to take that and work at that and then offer it out free, not freely, but you know what I mean? Like for people to read and explore and experience and then get feedback. How has feedback gone? How do you feel about it?
Feedback has been a learning process for me. I'll put it that way. In undergrad, I was part of workshops that I felt like the professor who led the workshop was like, she was really careful, made sure we were respectful to each other. She was my advisor in college, so I took a lot of workshop classes with her. But then I was a part of another class in college that was a little less careful, and I got some painful feedback, and it was annoying. But then my first week of grad school, I think that's okay that I tell this story in a public venue. This was my horror story from grad school, was that my first week of grad school, I was the first person whose story was workshopped, and they tore it apart, as in the professor was instigating my classmates to laugh at my work for like 20 minutes. They laughed at a part of my work that wasn't even something I'd done wrong. They just thought it was funny. And we got to the end of the hour and the professor looked around the room and he was like, oh, I hope in your written feedback that you guys give positive comments because we haven't said anything positive about the story. And you could have said positive things. And I was so mad because I was sitting there like couldn't say anything during, because that's how I was trained. Like you just sit there and people talk as if you're not in the room and you just take notes. And so I'd been sitting there for an hour with my mouth shut as people tore about and laughed at my work right in front of me. And I was so mad. I almost quit grad school. Eventually I did get very helpful feedback from him, extremely helpful feedback. And, yeah. And some of those classmates did become friends, but yeah, very bad for a while.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've had a mixed experience with feedback, but feedback is, I think, one of the best ways of growing as long as it's, as long as you're able to survive it.
So I think to wrap things up with this conversation, so you've had nightmare experiences with feedback. You, yeah. You find your identity through God with this. You feel him working with you and giving you either ideas or you can see him through some of his creation. Like you get inspiration through his creation as well. So what makes it all worth it?
That it's fun. I think that's what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the whole process for me, I mean, I just love writing. I love coming up with characters and seeing what happens to them and kind of joining them for the adventure and then getting to share it with other people and they get to experience it too. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's just, I love it. It's really fun.
Were you able to think of a verse to close us out?
Yeah, so the verse that I found is, so Exodus 35:29 says, so the people of Israel, every man and woman who was eager to help in the work the Lord had given them through Moses, brought their gifts and gave them freely to the Lord. So in this context, it's like talking about the tabernacle. But I love how, what I was struck with that verse is that like the community endeavor of it, like these are people working together. In this context, I think gifts means like, you know, they're like gold and stuff that they had, but also the fact that they gave, you know, there were other people who were giving their artistic talents and kind of everyone working together and giving freely. Somehow that word freely really drew me in, how we can give freely back to God what he has given us. And sort of the generosity of spirit of God gives to us so generously, and what would it look like to give back to him freely in joy and in gratitude for what he's given us.
Well, I've loved this conversation. This has been really great.
Thanks, Jenna. This was really fun for me.
Yay. Thank you so much for taking the time of doing this and for being brave and sharing the stuff that God is showing you and your creativity. And I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm really excited for whatever's next. I have no idea what happened in the 1860s in Chile, but I'm really excited to find out about it. Exodus 35:29, the Israelites, all the men and women whose heart moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord.
This has been episode 28 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, entitled Created to Create with author Christine Kinberg. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/28. You can find us on social media at Facebook or Instagram.